so many things, like the Father's tender mercies every day. The cross where Jesus died, I often fail to stop and give him thanks. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not feel responsible? And not say thanks. He was beaten beyond recognition, and a crown of thorns was pressed into his brow. His back was torn apart to pay for all the crimes I've done. So you think I take the time to humbly bow? How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say say thank you? I will magnify the power of his name. I will take a stand for Christ, for he is the Lord of all. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thanks. Lately I've been looking back upon this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace rolled down upon me. My wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning. His say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause
Exodus chapter 12, and God's people were of course coming out of Egypt, and then they had the last plague, and it was the plague of the firstborn dying in Egypt. And I don't know if I emphasize this enough. There's a sermon by S.M. Davis on the firstborn, and I'm just going to just sort of give you a little commercial break. Mom and dad, you love your children with no respecter of persons. You love them all. You don't say, well, this one's prettier than the other one. I love him better. Don't do that. But invest a little bit more in the firstborn. The firstborn is going to influence the rest of them. Okay? My brother was a firstborn demon. He wrecked the whole outfit. There was five of us, man. It was the domino effect. But when he got saved and got right with God, he sparked the whole family. And we have eight children, and we've probably spent a little bit more time. We don't love them anymore. We've spent a little bit more. By the way, let me say, I don't want to fuss this anniversary. When we teach principles of the Word of God, don't let it be like water off a duck's back. These are important. These are important. Don't wait until later on and you say, what happened? Well, one thing that happened, your firstborn has just sort of infected the whole family. And so invest in that firstborn. And I'm not going to go into all that. But Brother Myers got me all wild up about something. But we're here in Exodus, and God's people are leaving Egypt, and then the last plague. And then God explains to them, he says, look, when we leave Egypt, I don't want you to forget what happened. Of course, leaving Egypt is a picture of salvation. And so he says, I don't want you to forget what happens. And then he goes on to say, he says, I want you to have a feast. And by the way, I looked up in the dictionary feast. I always thought the feast was just eating. And I looked it up. Feast isn't just eating. Feast is eating and celebrating. And so look at Exodus chapter 12 and look at verse number 12. Exodus 12, verse number 12. Okay? Thank you, guys. For I will pass, Exodus 12, verse 12, we'll read to verse 28. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sing that song. And by the way, that's how we get to heaven. That's how we have salvation. The choir did a wonderful job about being redeemed. We're not redeemed because of our good works. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about. And the same thing, their families were not redeemed because mom was a good Jew, or mom, you know, wasn't eating bacon, or mom wasn't cooking pork chops. They, the firstborn, were redeemed by the blood. And of course, it's a picture of our salvation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now look at verse 14, and I preached a whole sermon on memorials. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Okay, a time to remember. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And by the way, we're going to feast a little bit. We're going to relax a little bit today. We're going to get out here early. We're going to go eat, have a little fun, come back here a little early. By the way, if you want to, you know, don't want to go skating? That's fine. Maybe just relax. You want to go over there? You don't want to go? But that's what we're doing today. Just sort of a time to get together, to feast, to celebrate. And why? God's goodness. Verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. And of course, that's a picture of the leaven is a picture of sin. And I won't go into all that. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day. He's repeating himself. He's saying, listen, I want you to remember salvation. I want you to remember this day as this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, and he gives the time, on the 14th day of the month, even ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In your habitations shall ye eat leavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. By the way, no doubt there were some people that didn't believe this. No doubt they thought it was hocus pocus, and we're sure that if they did not put the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn child died. Okay, it doesn't matter if we believe God's word. God's word is true, and what he says is going to happen. That's why we want to obey Bible. Well, I don't believe all that stuff. I believe some of it, not all of it. Well, we still get the blessing if we obey it, and we face the consequences if we don't. Verse 24, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be when ye come to the land which the Lord which give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? The kids are going to say, hey, what is this festival about? What are we eating? How come no leavened bread? How come we're not working? What's all the partying about? Then verse 27, ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Father, help us on this anniversary Sunday to celebrate the things of God, the blessings of God. And as the ladies were all up here singing about the goodness of God, oh, there's been valleys. Oh, as Karina's singing, there's been rough times, but God's always good. And help us to remember that. There's heartaches here. There's illness here. There's cancer in this room. There's sickness, and there's relational heartaches, and there's physical and financial, and there's layoffs. But God is always good. Help us to be a people that are not roller coaster Christians. When things are all up, we're praising God, and when things are down, we're just murmuring and complaining. Help us to be a grateful people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord wants to be remembered in different ways for different things. We take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is sort of like the Passover. It's to be reminded. It's so that we're reminded of what Jesus did on the cross. There are different feasts in the Old Testament for God's remembrance and for times of gratitude. We as a church, we take once a year on our anniversary to just sort of just bless the Lord and just thank the Lord. And we do this every year. I want to say, first of all, to jump right in the message, we want to praise and thank God for what he's done here at Pacific Baptist, but we want to praise and thank God and give him the glory for people that have been saved here. We first glorify God, and then we do everything we can to get the gospel out. There's been hundreds and probably thousands. I don't have the numbers in front of me, not that it matters much. It matters that a lot of people get saved, but we see people saved every week. And it's exciting. We have people that speak Tagalog, and we have people that speak Cambodian, and we have people that speak Spanglish. Spanish and English a little go in. By the way, our Filipino people, they do that. They preach in English and Tagalog and English and Tagalog. By the way, our Cambodian people do that sometimes. But we have Spanish, and now we have Chinese, and we have Laotian, and all the different. Brother Ron and I, we went out, and we followed up on somebody that didn't get saved. Cambodian lady, she'd just been here 2 years yesterday. We knocked on her gate. No one, she couldn't get the door open. And the lady came out, and Brother Ron and I talked to her for about 40 minutes. And I could slip in a few Khmer words, Suksabai, Jimripsua, Mawina, Nua Merik Maman Chanam Hai, Skalkra, Bahok, and some important words like that. But we turned it over to Brother Ron. I said, man, this one's yours. And I stepped back, and then he's going on, and he's witnessing. And then he turns to me, and he says, Judge. He said, man, I can't remember the word judge in Khmer. I said, Doc, don't look at me. If you don't know it, I don't know it. And I, you know, we sort of sitting there, and we were laughing a little bit. And praise God, the young lady, she has, I think, 3 children. She's been here. She got saved. And we rejoice in that. Many different now there's Chinese people in Monterey Park going out soul winning every week. And we go over there. We use a few of our Chinese words like egg foo yong and Chinese fortune cookies and, you know, fried rice. And then we step back and we turn it over to the Chinese people. But there's many people that have been saved. I thought, and I mentioned to Brother Ross yesterday, I see Troy and Lori right over here. Can you raise your hand, Troy and Lori? Troy came and brought his wife. Troy had been saved. I don't know that he was going to church. And then his wife would sit right about there with Mrs. Ross, and she'd listen to the sermon, and I'd probably bored her to death, but she'd listen to the sermon, and she wasn't saved yet. She'd been here for a little while, and one Sunday, she responded during the invitation, and I remember this, Mrs. Ross. You sort of did like this. Stand up here a minute. Did you do like this? Did you do like this, almost like, it's about time, like this? It's like, I'm glad you're getting saved. Was that it, or was I imagining? Right, thank you. If not, just say it was, so it doesn't mess up my story. And we're so glad. And by the way, there's many Troy and Lori's in the church. And Lori survived Christian education emphasis month. She's a public school teacher. So man, she'll survive here another 25 years. Amen. And they've been growing and being involved. They went, there was a big time that a bunch of our people went on a vacation. Troy and Lori went. Troy's been here for work parties and when my staff and my deacons won't show up, Troy will show up. And so you're a blessing. And of course, I saw Troy here our first night of Tuesday night summer saturation soul winning, and what a joy it is to see people saved. Amen. And I can go on and on. There's others. I have written down here Axel and Marianne. I asked Brother Ray. I said, Brother Ray, just shoot me an email. Give me a little bit of their testimony. Where are Axel and Marianne? Are they in here? Okay, right here. Let me read this. Axel and Marianne and their daughter Michaela were reached through our church in the really recent months. They both trusted Christ as their Savior through Pacific Baptist. They're currently going through discipleship. Here's their testimony. They said that when Michaela was first diagnosed with leukemia, Michaela's right there on Axel's. She's taking a nap, like some of you are taking a nap. She's taking a nap, and that's okay. But she was diagnosed with leukemia this last year. She was just turning six at that time. They weren't attending our church. They weren't saved. Their hearts were devastated. They didn't understand why God allowed their daughter to have this illness. Mary Ann had to quit work to stay home with Michaela, that had leukemia at all times. A few months after Michaela was diagnosed with leukemia, someone from Pacific Baptist Church knocked on their door and met them for the first time, and they got saved. By the way, you say, why do you keep knocking on all these doors? We've already knocked on them. Because maybe last year when we knocked on the door, somebody didn't have leukemia. We call it the season of the soul. None of us, or very few of us, get saved the first time we just hear the gospel. God allows certain things, and we don't understand all the providence and sovereignty of God. She now believes the reason God allowed Michaela to get sick was so that she could come, could be home when she received the knock on the door. And what faithful people they are. And it says, Lord willing, Michaela will be enrolled in our Christian school this year. And it looks like Michaela's leukemia is in remission now. And so pray for her. But isn't it wonderful to go out and tell the gospel and get people saved? And that's one thing we praise God for, and we glorify God. And by the way, same thing in Monterey Park. There's a lady, and there's many people over there have been saved recently, but there's a lady, her name is Tony. She's a nurse, and she had triplets. She wasn't attending our church. She moved out here from the East Coast, and then one of the three babies died, and she's a pretty young lady, and she was diagnosed also with leukemia. She has leukemia right now, and she's pretty ill, but she recently got saved and baptized, and she's now faithfully serving the Lord in Monterey Park. And we want to praise and thank God for the hundreds and maybe thousands of people that have been saved. And let me say this, we just keep going out there and giving the gospel, amen? Yeah. Then we want to praise and thank God how he has helped so many through the many heartaches that our people have gone through this past year. The older we get, the more people we have, the more heartaches. Is this the way it is? Man, I just wish we got saved. God just goes, okay, no problems, no marriage problems, no health problems, no financial problems, no unexpected problems, no children problems, no teen problems. Listen, you got teenagers, you better start walking on water. Okay? It ain't easy in this culture. I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'll tell you what, you better learn how to cast demons out real fast. You need to take that course in Bible college on how to exorcise demons. Okay? I'm not saying we can't. I'm just saying they go to our church. The devil goes to our church too. Okay? You know, he slips in here every once in a while. But there's problems. But thank God that he'll be with us in the valleys. Seems like each year we have a group of people in our church that go through difficult trials to teach the rest of us how to suffer in this life graciously. Whether it was an Oscar and Maggie in the past, Brother Myers' appendix burst in his body. Okay, that's lethal. That's a lot of times people die. Okay, your wife would be pretty rich right now if you would have died. She carried those life insurance papers with her. The Ledwidge's sister died a couple years ago. Maria's sister died, and they took in three of the children. Every year, there's more. Frank and Monica this year, Monica's sister died, and they made the decision to take in Melissa and Junior. And that's tough. It's not, that's what everybody should do. You think, hey, how'd you like to take two, you know, one 6-year-old, one, I don't know, 8-year-old, another one? They already have 4, 5, 6, I don't know, okay? That's not easy. They've done it. Albert and Susie. Susie went through 2 bouts of cancer. Then their son, come to find out, he had to have open heart surgery. But you know, God's faithful. Like what Brother Albert said, he said, you know, before he has open heart surgery, no matter what happens, we just keep serving the Lord. Amen. One of our little girls, teenage girls, had open hearts, has a heart transplant. Ricky and Cena's young lady with breast cancer. Let's praise God for his faithfulness even in the valley, because we know that God walks with us in the valley. Amen? Then we want to praise the Lord this morning. There's so much. We can spend the whole morning, the whole afternoon, the whole night. But we want to praise God for God bringing his vision for the Great Commission in regards to the uttermost parts of the world to pass here at Pacific Baptist. Really what God's doing here, and we understand, and every once in a while I mention it, it's real special. A prophet is not honored, you know, in his own hometown. And you, a lot of times we're more enamored what God's doing somewhere else than what God is doing right here in our midst. By the way, I just think Brother Charlie's mother got saved how many months ago? November. So 9 months ago. I saw her this morning. Where are you, Sophia? Where's Sophia? Right here. She's walking with little Charlie Jr. She's saved. She's baptized, faithful in the church, smiling. She's doing better too. She's doing better. She had open heart surgery. And by the way, that was a season of the soul, and she was ready to accept Jesus as her Savior. Amen. And now she's going to be, I think, the volleyball coach or something. But just the reaching, and God has so chosen to send with our teams some of our best. Brother Board is over there. The Keels. By the way, both Keel families are over there. Brother Board's here. He'll be here in our church soon. Brother, just for a little bit. Brother, the Haas family's over there. Samantha's over. Jay and Heidi. I got an email from Jay. He said, this is our first anniversary. He said, we had 100 people in our church on our first anniversary in the bush. Okay. That was for you six people that were sleeping. Okay. Jay and Heidi, the Sutricks, Brother Coomley, Bernice, Jennifer, Brother Vong is on his way. Brother Adrian's on his way. Pray for Adrian. He needs a wife. I'd say, man, you guys can't go over there single. Got to have a wife. Got to have a helpmeet. Pray for him. Pray for him. And we were looking at some of the pictures when Brother Benefield was here. There were some pretty nice-looking single girls in his congregation. And I said, Brother Adrian, maybe you might want to look up their email address or something. Get with the program. Now, of course, my brother is going, and then probably the next person that will go is Brother Myers will go, and then Brother Pineda will go, probably my son also. I met with somebody yesterday about the possibility of them going to Laos, and we're excited about that. But we get to be a part of it, and we're excited about it, and there's so much. But it's here. This is the vision God gave us. It first became a vision, and now it's coming to pass. And revel in it, okay? Say, oh, man, I can't wait for my next vacation. Listen, you complained so much about your last vacation. You came back and said, I'm so tired. It wasn't like forget the vacation. I like the vacation, but forget the vacation. Revel and be grateful for what God's doing today, okay? We want to praise and thank God for what he's doing in our young people. I'm so thankful Brother Ross and Mrs. Ross organized senior trip this last year. We've made a commitment. All of our senior trips will go to the mission field, okay? And it's not easy. $2,000 a head. Is that right, Brother Ross? About $2,000. Each senior had to come up with $2,000. Okay, by the way, as we're getting close to the senior trip, okay, they're coming begging, borrowing. A few of them are stealing, too, I think. But how many went with you, brother? How many seniors went? About 10, 12? About 12, 10, 12 seniors went. And I'll tell you this, I don't know if any youth revival, camp, youth conference, anything we've ever done has changed the heart of our teenagers like the missions trip. They came back just really with a heart for God. And they came back with a heart for people. And I'm so honored to pastor just our teenagers and Brother Ross, Mrs. Ross, all the parents doing a wonderful job. I really believe this. We have more godly sold out to the Lord. Not good. I like good kids. But I'm talking about godly sold out to the Lord, young people, than we've ever had in the 24-year history of our church. I believe that. Okay. Oh, I know some kid, he got in trouble. Well, I know about five kids that got in trouble. Okay. Quit talking about the kids that get in trouble, and let's honor God for the kids that are serving the Lord. There's a bunch of them. Heart for God. I don't mean just clean kids. I don't mean just kids staying out of trouble. I don't mean just kids that are not involved with pornography. I mean kids that love God. They have a heart for God. Their purpose is to glorify God. And we get to serve the Lord in a church where God is working in the young people's lives. And then there's so much more I can say about that. By the way, let's work together at helping our young people serve the Lord. Okay? We want to praise God also for what he's doing in Judea and Samaria. We have a mandate from God to get the gospel out in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria for us now, Monterey Park. I won't spend much time on that. We're just so excited about what God is doing. Started a new bus route. We have three young people from Monterey Park that will be in Bible college in the fall. We're excited about that. Then we want to praise and thank God for his purging this year at Pacific Baptist Church, in our church, amongst our people, for the purpose of godly fruitfulness and longevity. Let me say this. You can't be a good Christian without purging. You can't. You just can't. Man, I wish there was like some little box you put people through and it just cleans their heart, cleans their mind, cleans their soul, cleans their motives, sets them on a path. Yes! Didn't happen that way. Never has, never will. You say, well, Pastor, what's the greatest purifier of our hearts? Difficulties. Heartbreak. Disappointment. Illness. Loss of a job. Marital disappointment. Children disappointed. Catastrophic problems. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Some of us right now, we think we're dying. We think we're dying mentally. We think we're dying emotionally. Some of us feel like we're dying physically. Some of us even maybe feel like we're dying spiritually. God has always been and will continue to be faithful when we're going through the valley. Don't turn your back on God. By the way, quit blaming people. God uses people to purge us. God used Saul to purge him, to make him the man after God's own heart. God used Joseph's brothers, and God used Potiphar's wife, and God used the guys that turned their back on Joseph in jail to get him out, to purge him, to help him to be what God wanted him to be. Listen, folks, there's no rainbow and there's no gold at the end of the rainbow. Life is rough, life is hard, but let's be faithful to God because he will be faithful to us. Oh, I just want to, I need to change this or change this because things are tough. Let me just say this. Things are tough for everybody. Unless you're 10 years, you 10-year-olds, I don't know if 10-year-olds, I don't think 10-year-olds are in it. You 10-year-olds, enjoy it now. Because, man, when you turn 12, you're going to start getting pimples. All the kids are going to say, look at that man, look at this guy, Cyclops. Big old zit on the forehead. You beg your parents to stay home for a week, and they said, no. You go there, everybody makes fun of you, and all of a sudden you're a girl, and you're 13, and you grow taller than all the boys. You know, you go to school like this, the crowd's down because you're bigger than everybody. Okay, you 6 and 7-year-old, you enjoy it because right now life is Disneyland. You turn about 14 or 15, just, man, things go cattywampus. Some girl likes you. You like her, all that stuff. And then they turn their back on you, and then you're brokenhearted, and you go into a 4-year depression at 13. But God's with us during the hard times. That's why I like to study, I like to study the great Christians that are dead. You say, why? Very difficult times. Very difficult. Very difficult. but it's what made them who God wanted them to be. And I thank God this year, he's been faithful. John 15, 1 and 2, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, those are people that are in sync with the vine. They're connected to Jesus. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Can I say this? This is my humble opinion. I may be wrong. 2012, our church has been purged more than any year ever. But that's okay. We'll let him purge us. We'll let him purge us. We'll let the sickness come. We'll let the leukemia come. We don't want it. I don't want leukemia. I don't want our families that have six-year-olds that have leukemia. We don't want a family to have a 14-year-old son rebel. We don't understand it all. We don't understand all the details, and we don't understand all the whys, but we'll say, God, do what you need to do. Don't get mad at God when the heartaches come. Don't get bitter at somebody when the heartaches come. Just say, God, purge me so that I can bring forth the fruit that you want me to bring forth. We want to praise and thank God for his purging in our individual lives, in our church. And then lastly, we want to praise and thank God for the vision he's given us for Pacific Baptist. I won't spend the time, but in our staff meetings, we had some fun vision casting, and we're just talking about what we're going to do in the new build. It was fun. You ever hear people say, oh, he's dreaming. That's what we were doing. And we're saying, okay, what do you think we're going to do in the new build? I mean, man, where's Cody? Cody, he's like, we're going to reach the world, and we're not only going to go to the 1040 window, we're going to, Venus. And I mean, he was all over the place. And Ezekiel says, yeah, over there, when we get in the new building, we're going to have online Baptist curriculum. I mean, he's going, and he like had the best one. Where's Gina? Gina Mui, she's like, yes, you know what we need? Forget fine arts other places. We're going to have our own fine arts right here. I mean, we were just dreaming, man. It was so fun. Then we were done. We're like, wow, we're back to reality, get your screw guns, guys. We still have a bunch of steel studs to put up. I figured out the math. I was 26 years old when God led us to start this church. I was this guy's age. Stand up a minute. By the way, I was as skinny as him, too. I wasn't as tall as he is. I looked as young as he does. You got this kid looks like he's 18 years old. That's me when we start. I would have never come. Just looking at me, I would have scared me. When he's the pastor? By the way, Ms. O'King, thank you for coming when I was this young. I'm like, you got to be kidding. 26 years ago. Now, I can have a heart attack tomorrow, or I can be diagnosed with some fatal disease, or I can be hit by a car, or one of you can shoot me because you're mad at me. But I really think, keep the carrot juice up, keep the spinach, keep the walking, stay faithful to God. I think I have another good 20 years. Okay, for some of you, it's amen. For some of you, it's like, oh, no. 20 more years of this guy? Can we get like a new one in here? Thanks. I better not comment. I really feel like this. And I know feelings aren't everything. I really feel like this, Brother Myers. I feel like 24 years, I was 26 years, 24 years, I've made a lot of mistakes. So have you, Charlie. Don't give me that look. But I really feel like it's almost like a new beginning. By the way, buildings aren't everything, but I almost feel like that we're going to get, by the way, this time, the anniversary next year, God willing, we'll have our anniversary in our new building, okay? That'd be huge. But I really feel like, hey, listen, okay? We've all made some mistakes. Brother Ray's made a couple mistakes, okay? My brother's 55, okay? He's no longer the Filipino pastor. We got Brother Ray. He's like a young guy. Brother Pineda, he's made a few mistakes. He's made a lot of mistakes. But he has a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, wonderful children. Man, I love his family, love his children. Just, and I really believe my son's here. And by the way, it's good to have our kids growing up. Our staff, we have our staff in here, about 43 staff members, part-time and full-time. Most of them are young. They grew up here, saved here. We have a bright future. I really believe that. I really believe, oh, well, you know, such and such happened. That was yesterday. We have a bright future in front of us. And I'm excited that God has put in us, okay, we're just not living day by day. Now, we need to live day by day. But also, there's a vision. The vision's to glorify God. And the vision's for us to have strong families, okay? The vision to keep our doctrine pure, not go off some new contemporary tangent, okay? Not been proven. Keep our doctrine pure. And then reach our Jerusalem. I have some scary thoughts about reaching our Jerusalem here in Long Beach. And I don't want to tell you now because you can only take so much. Judea and Samaria, we got to go to Northwest Orange County and start that church in that area. That's next. That's on the radar. That's going to come. Okay? And the uttermost parts of the earth. Just, there's so much. And so God's been faithful. He's been faithful in the hard times. He's been faithful that we continue winning lost souls. And be quite frank with you, it's exciting to see people that are saved and baptized, serving the Lord and growing. But even better than anything, God has a great vision for us. The future is bright. Let's stand together and let's bow our heads for just a moment.